BITCO is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. BITCO.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Thank you for downloading the Tech Central podcast. My name is Duncan MacLeod. I'm on a Skype call today to Kurusele Pitje, a former mayor of Mamelodi, to chat about a new fiber optic plant that his company Dotcom, of which he is chairman, is launching this evening in Waltloo in Pretoria. Very briefly, Kudu started New GX Capital with the assistance of APSA Capital to invest in owner-managed businesses in the telecoms and energy sectors. That's now a 3.5 billion rand private equity business. Winner of the 2015 EY Global Entrepreneur Awards Emerging Entrepreneur category, he, together with his mother, founded the HM Pitje Foundation, which assists schools in Mamelodi, Shoshanguve, and Fokwana. Kudu, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Duncan. Thanks.
I think as a starting point, please tell me a bit about Dotcom and its origins.
Dotcom has an interesting origin, but before that, I just want to clarify. My father was the first mayor of Mamelodi. I've never been in politics.
So Okay.
Clarify that point. Yes. The Dotcom in the 1999, a group of ex-Dimension Data entrepreneurs bought Dotcom as a 10 million rand turnover business. And we subsequently joined them as their partners in 2005, 2006. And we built the business and positioned it as almost a builder's warehouse of telecom sector, where it's a solutions provider of infrastructure that is required to build a fiber network. So from duct fiber, manholes, antennas, backup batteries, you name it, we can distribute it in bulk from any of our centers in Centurion, Durban, and Cape Town. And we service a couple of countries outside of South Africa, including Mozambique, Tanzania, Malawi, and sometimes we sell in Angola. And we've built a business to become a big partner to international companies, the likes of Uber and Tuna and OFS. And our relationship with OFS comes from 10 years ago, where we started distributing their product into the South African market, including testing it out in clients like Vodacom, MTN, and Dark Fiber, and Vumatel. And we've subsequently grown that product presence in the market to substantiate a local production facility. And the uniqueness of this facility is that it will result in us investing 100 million in a state-of-the-art fiber plant, which will be positioned 1.1 kilometers away from Mamelodi. And Mamelodi, being very dear to our family's hearts, it's an initiative that will assist a black child or worker to be able to walk to work, basically, and be able to be exposed to the latest technology in telecoms. And we will produce this product under license with the assistance of OFS. And the factory itself will have an effective 78% black ownership, which is also quite a unique status in the market in that telecom space. And we believe we've got a very compelling product.
So 100 million rand investment, that's a big bet to be taking in this space. What's the sort of, give us an idea of the size of the facility and how many people it's going to be employing?
At peak, it will run about three shifts. And at peak, it will be between 90 to 100 people. Currently, as we sit, at least about 90% of the people come from Mamelodi and Esteras. So we have achieved our goal at it, and we have plans where we think we will expand or double the capacity in about 18 months if the fundamentals of the telecom sector stay in place. And because we believe in OFS, we've got a world-beating product that can service the Africa market.
So tell us a bit about the product or products that you're going to be manufacturing at this facility. What are they exactly, and who's going to be buying them?
We, through our distribution model, have been selling the optic fiber cables manufactured by OFS into the market. They tend to lead the way in coming up with products that enable the sweating of infrastructure. So typically, when people dig for fiber, to bury fiber, about 70% of the cost come from the civils and 30% from fiber and related products. And therefore, if you as a manufacturer can come up with ways of increasing the number of strands in a cable, you enhance the ability of the operators to sweat their real estate. And this is the technology enhancement that OFS has been able to come with, which has been placed, positioned us in the market as one of the more competitive fiber providers.
Is there a fiber factory like this anywhere else in South Africa, or are you building the first one?
That we do have competitors in the market. There are two existing well-known players, and there's a new player in Durban that's investing in Durban. But we're confident that what we're bringing in state-of-the-art fiber technology, our product will have its place in the market.
Okay, so you're obviously very bullish on where fiber investment is going in South Africa. We've obviously seen a lot of investment both in national and metro and more recently fiber to the home infrastructure in South Africa, and those investments are certainly showing no signs at the moment of letting up. You clearly believe then, I guess, given that you're making a 100 million rand investment in the space, that telecommunications operators are going to continue with those sort of robust investments for the foreseeable future?
Yes, that's correct. We, if you look at the sector in South Africa, as much as there is almost what you can call a land grab approach in getting to the last mile, the connectivity really of people on or homes on fiber has not even reached a million. There's numbers that are being thrown around homes passed, but there's a difference between connected, meaning that last mile portion is actually has a client at the end of it. You look at the rest of the continent, it's only Mauritius at about 20% penetration rate in the urban areas that has something to call a high penetration rate. The rest of it within the SADC region, I would even take an estimate that we don't have more than 1.5 million homes connected. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the population size and the capacity for and requirement for data, we believe the continent is far away from reaching its peak.
Okay. So are you, is Dotcom doing this project entirely itself? Have you got partners coming in? And also in terms of the capital investment that you're making here, did you go to the markets to raise money? Did you take on debt? Is it self-funded from your balance sheet? Just walk me through that.
Sure. That's an important point, Duncan. Where ourselves and management took a big risk in 2014 and did quite a sizable leverage buyout of Dotcom itself. And we then, as a result of our ability to participate in the growth of the sector, have been able to contribute a combination of equity from ourselves as shareholders and also senior debt from FNB, who have been very supportive of UGX as a group and especially Dotcom. That has been the combination of the contribution to the plant. OFS, as our partners, have shown interest in acquiring a stake over time, but at the moment it's just ourselves, the shareholders of Dotcom, and FNB with a senior debt facility.
Okay. And maybe give us some indication of how much product the factory is expected to produce when it's at peak.
Duncan, at peak, so if we look at the peak of what we call three shifts, I think the plant will have capacity to do about 12,000 kilometers per year.
Okay.
Which is about 1,000 kilometers per month. And what it does as well, by bringing it locally, it saves us about 50 to 70% of what we import will be made locally. Because remember, Duncan, in the fiber world currently, there is a shortage of the raw fiber itself because of the expansion of fiber networks across the world, and therefore our ability to access that raw fiber is quite critical for the operation.
Okay. Are you going to be able to, you speak about the global shortage of fiber, but is there an advantage in the cost as well in building a factory here in South Africa? Are you going to be able to deliver this infrastructure cheaper than you could if you imported it?
Duncan, our numbers say will be as competitive as the local players. So we would be on par as the local players.
With the local players. And is that cheaper than what you see if you import this sort of stuff?
I guess the differential comes in the taxes that come in and the logistics costs. So if you run your operations efficiently, you should be able to compete with the same like-for-like quality product.
I see.
Okay. And also remember, you're saving a little bit, not completely, but a little bit of the volatility in the rand as well. You can save because a big part of your costs will be localized.
Okay. And I presume the market opportunity here is bigger than just South Africa. You said you do operate in a number of markets in the Southern African region. You're going to be manufacturing product for markets, other markets in SADC, I assume?
Yes. So we, in our negotiations with OFS, we ensured that the plant is not restricted to South Africa, and it's been given initially SADC, and then over time we will expand hopefully into West Africa, because OFS is busy building its plant in Morocco, which will service North and some of Europe. So the uniqueness of this plant is also the only plant in the OFS footprint that's not owned by them. So it was quite a unique arrangement between us and themselves, which took about 2 years to negotiate.
Are they likely to become a shareholder in the future?
I think they're a smart group, and I think they will with the market opportunities that exist.
Okay. Could you, just before we wrap up, I know you've you do some interesting work through your foundation in schools. Tell me a bit about what that is. Is that IT related investment?
In relation to schools, what we've done is through the HMPJ Foundation, we've adopted schools initially in Soshanguve, which is where we were raised. And we adopted, the first school we adopted is the primary school, Metsing Primary School, which I attended as my first school. And my partner, Komoto Mulwanto, also attended the same school. And we've really looked at the needs through discussions with parents and teachers and discovered that from food, to playgrounds, to teachers being trained. And the one thing that stuck out was the need for a technology platform. So we put together a consortium of sponsors who worked through the foundation, including the family and DFA.com into IT and MCT, who all contributed what was necessary to build the network into Metsing. So on the day of the launch of the factory, we will have a link between the factory and the school, launching the e-learning material and the network that we're building. And we hope with what we've done in terms of survey, there's line of sight into two other schools in the area in Soshanguve and Block L. And we hope that by next year, the other two schools will also have access to the same network and also e-learning material. And I think what we're trying to do is bridge the gap for the township schools, especially no fee paying schools, which when we did the analysis, we realized that at least 80% of the kids come from child-led homes, which is a staggering number considering that these are kids in primary school who have to act partially as adults when they get back home. And we believe that things like putting on-site psychologists through a platform can also enhance their access to assistants and mentors. So there's a lot of work to be done. And we've also taken one of a girl from Metsing to St. Mary's Waverley, who have partnered with us. And that also enabled us to assess the gap that exists between a private school and a Metsing, and we're going to give feedback to the school and also assist them in filling that gap. So we also have a partnership with St. Andrew's College in Grahamstown that we're working on, and we hope over time we can create a node of school of excellence that government can take note of to replicate similar structures in townships. I think every little bit that we can all contribute will hopefully bring out a better scholar.
Sounds like a fantastic initiative, Kudu. And thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. I wish you all the best of luck with the new fiber factory, and I look forward to coming to visit and having a look at it.
Please do, and we'll keep you informed about future developments of our project. And thanks again for hosting us.
Kudu Pitje is chairman of .com and .com Fiber Solutions. Thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Take care, Duncan.